also, a couple days ago, we celebrated the Feast of Epiphany. And to start, I want to just mention one thing about the Feast of the Holy Family. Oftentimes, the thought can come to one's mind, you know, as a priest, we don't have a family of our own, but we are part of everybody's family. But I've been given a very special opportunity over the last few years, and that is I help take care of and I oversee the border boys that we have in Omaha. In Omaha, we have boys who work with us for school. And as a spiritual father, it's like I have 10 or 11 or 12 boys of my own between the age of 13 and 18 or 19. So I'm very grateful to Almighty God and our Blessed Mother for having a little bit of more of an understanding of that fatherly role in taking care of the boys when they stay in Omaha. And one thing I want to mention in general is it's definitely not easy to be a parent today. It's not easy to help lead our children to God, help them first and foremost to teach them how to love God, how to serve God with all of their heart. So, as parents, I know we do not have an easy job, but certainly God's grace is not wanting to help us to fulfill our duties. Before going into more about the Feast of the Holy Family, I wanted to talk about the Feast of Epiphany. On Thursday last week, we celebrated the Epiphany, and what took place on the Epiphany, and that is when the wise men came from the east, and they arrived by our Lord in the stable in Bethlehem, and they offered to our Lord gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But who were these wise men? Who were they? They were very learned kings, very wealthy and powerful kings from the east. And they were men who studied and knew the scriptures. They had known that it was the time for the arrival of the Messiah, based upon the scriptures, based upon what the prophecies had said. They were also aware of the fact that at the birth of the Messiah, a new star would appear in the sky. When the wise men recognized the star that appeared in the sky as predicted in the book of Numbers, they left on their journey, and they followed that star to Jerusalem. And when we think of the journey of the wise men, we should understand that it was not an easy journey by any means. They encountered many hardships and difficulties. The travel took many days, and especially when following that star, it led them. But when they came to Jerusalem, that star disappeared. What faith these wise men had to follow the star. Imagine what ridicule they received back home when they told their family, their friends, and their loved ones that they were going to leave, that they were going to go adore and honor the newborn king of the Jews, and that they were going to be following a star. What ridicule, what difficulty, what backlash they probably received from their family, friends, and loved ones. But so too, that did not shake or waver their faith at all. They left, and when they reached Jerusalem, as that star disappeared, they went to King Herod and asked him for guidance. King Herod informed the wise men that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, as the scribes and Pharisees had told Herod from the scriptures and prophecies. And what great faith did those wise men have when they reached Bethlehem? When they went, and where did the star lead them to? Spiritual fathers say that our Lord, our Blessed Mother, and Saint Joseph were still in the stable when the wise men came. So as the wise men arrive and show up, what do they see? Do they see a great king in a palace? Do they see someone dressed in great honor and golden robes and things of the such nature? No, they come to a cave. They come to a stable that's designed for animals. They see our Blessed Mother, they see Saint Joseph, and they see the tender child, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, laying in the manger. What did they do? They came and they knelt down and they adored our Lord. What great faith the Magi had. And so too, we should imitate their faith, especially in our own lives. In our own lives, there's a star that guides each and every one of us, and that's God's will. God's will in our life is like that star, and we need to follow God's will, and it's going to lead us to our home, which is heaven. There are times when God's will, that star, is not so clear to us. There are times when it's difficult or not easy to follow God's will where He wants us to go. But we should imitate the Magi in seeking counsel when we need counsel. When that star is not so bright or we cannot see it, we should seek counsel first in prayer and asking our Lord and our Blessed Mother for help. Ask the wise men for help in knowing God's will and doing God's will. So in regards to Epiphany, in the Universal Church, or in the church at large, it's actually a holy day of obligation. So if you were in Canada during the Feast of Epiphany, it would actually be a holy day. But for the United States, last Thursday, Epiphany, it is not a holy day. But anyways, we should still try our best to reflect upon the fact of the Magi's great faith following that star and coming and adoring our Lord. But now going back to the Feast of the Holy Family, there are many things that we can learn when we look towards the Holy Family. First and foremost, we should do our very best in our own families. Whether we're a young child, a young adult, parent, whatever it might be, grandparent, we should try our very best to imitate and to practice the virtues that the Holy Family has given before us. First, for children of our Lord was obedient to Saint Joseph, his foster father, and our Blessed Mother. Our Lord wants us to practice obedience towards our parents. When our parents tell us to do something, we should do our very best to listen to them. Our parents want us to get to heaven. Our parents love us very much. So it's important that we listen to them when they are telling us what we should be doing, especially as we get older. As we get older and start to be more independent, it's not like our parents just exit the picture. It's not like that, you know, we don't go to them anymore for that advice or help. No, it's especially as you get older, especially as you start to get on your own, that we should ask our parents for that help and guidance, to ask them and seriously take to heart the advice that they give us. Our parents love us very much and they want the best for us, and let's remember that. For fathers, you're the head of the household, and we should look to St. Joseph for help in fulfilling our role, fulfilling our duties as the head of the house. Oftentimes it does happen in our day and age where even in society, that role as the head of the household for the father is taken away. And if you were to, just in general, you can see in different areas, whether it's in regards to media or advertisement, anything just in general, it really is that destruction of the head of the family, the father being the head, the one who has the final say. But so too in our homes, fathers, it's important that you're firm but gentle. Firm and gentle, leading your family to heaven, just as St. Joseph led the Holy Family. And mothers, you are the heart of the family. Let's remember that, just like our Blessed Mother was the heart of the Holy Family, so too you are the heart of your family in the home. And it's important that we remember that we have many duties and roles that we have to fulfill, but especially that having that tender compassion and care and love for your children and for your spouse as well. When it comes to the Holy Family, we can look to their example and we can see what they give to us and how we can imitate it in our own lives. But I mentioned that it's not easy. It's not easy in our day and age in order to keep our family on the right track. It's not an easy task with the difficulties that we face. As I said, in working with the boys in Omaha, there are a few obstacles that really come up that are challenging. One is phones, cell phones, or the internet. There are so many dangers with cell phones and internet. And for a family at home, I strongly recommend that when it comes to the internet, that there is a good watch that's kept over it. Whether it be with the phone or the laptop, it's important that you have maybe the security programs on there that really help to protect our children. There's just a lot of garbage out there now, so it's important that we're diligent in watching over them in that area. I want to give you some practical advice. How can we do a better job with our families? How can we do a better job of sanctifying our families? And the first thing we have to do as a family is pray together. Very important that as a family, from the young age before our children, that we do our best to teach them their prayers and we pray together. As a family, if we pray together, we're going to really be able to weather the storms, we're going to be able to see through the difficult times, and we're going to be able to stick together. But if we give up prayer, if we leave off prayer as a family, things are going to fall apart really quickly. But that's where it's important first that we establish a good structure, a good schedule. When do we pray our morning prayers if we pray them together as a family, or our night prayers? But especially we should pray our family rosary together. How very important it is that we do that. Also, it's very important that we work together as well. As family members, it's important that we, first off, yes, understand what needs to be done. But second, it's very important that we ensure that all of the members of our family have different responsibilities or roles. They know clearly, what am I responsible for? What are the things that I need to do or should be making sure that they get done, making sure that we are fulfilling our duties in the home. But then also, we cannot leave off the fact that as a family, we should be doing fun things together as well. We should be doing some sort of recreation, because we have to do our best in our families to be well balanced. There's a time for prayer, that time for work, and that time for fun or recreation as well, that balance. And there are different extremes that I see or that come up. And one extreme I do see oftentimes is that there is a lot of emphasis put on the work. There's a lot of time that's spent on the work, and almost to the detriment or to the bad effect of the family. The individual is working so much, so hard, that they're not spending time with their family. They're working so much for some particular reason, and even if it might be a good reason. But we have to understand that, yes, it's important that we work. Yes, it's important that we're fulfilling our daily duties. But that time that we get to spend with our family is very precious. The moments we get, we can't get those back. So it's important that we have time for work, but then also time for the other aspects of our family life as well. One older priest has said this multiple times in conversations I've had with him, is that you can work all day long. You can work from sun up to sundown, but even when you're done working, at the end of the day, there's still going to be more work to do. There's always going to be more work to do. Even if you work 24 hours a day, there'll still be more work to do. And that's why it's important that we strive to have a well-balanced family life, to strive to keep our Lord at the center of our families, important that we pray that we're knowing and doing God's will. Because if we're not praying, not calling down God's grace upon our families, we'll become very distracted. We'll spend time on things that we do not need to spend our time on. When I was in O'Neill for some time years back, there was a particular family that had a van with a sticker on the back of it. And I really liked the sticker that they had, and I told the family that the sticker on the back of their van had said that the best thing or the most valuable thing that we can spend on our families is time. The best thing that we can spend or the most valuable thing that we can spend on our families is time. Especially for parents, when your children are young, train them to love God. Teach them how to love God. Teach them to keep the commandments. As young children, they're like little ponies. Little ponies who are easy to form, easy to guide. But if we do not train them in the young years, in those tender years, they're going to become like stallions when they get older. And even with a stallion, you cannot control, you cannot direct or guide it. So let us not waste any time, especially when our children are young, and do our very best first to teach them to love Almighty God. That's what's going to really help be that star in their life, is that love of Almighty God, love of God's will. But then also, let us make sure that we're teaching them their prayers, teaching them to also keep the commandments. So today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. Let us look to the Holy Family for a guide, as an example in our own lives. How should we practice virtue? Look at the holy life of the family of our Lord, our Blessed Mother, St. Joseph. They suffered much. They had much to endure. But they give us a good example on how we are to carry on our family lives. Look to the star as the Magi did. The star in our lives is God's will. We should be doing our very best to know God's will and to do God's will. And as that sticker had said, remember, the most valuable thing that we can spend on our family is time. In the name of the Father and of the